Along with the coronavirus outbreak centered in China comes a ton of information. The World Health Organization coined it an infodemic. So we start today with a reality check on what we know and what scientists are trying to learn. Dr. Michael Minna is an infectious disease specialist at Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health. He says a month ago, about 300 people were confirmed to have COVID-19. This week, that number is more than 17,000 cases.
Well, it's following the expected spread for a virus like this. It seems to be doubling every 4 or 5 days.
But lately, Minna says the spread in China has been slowing down.
So I would say from an epidemiological perspective, it's actually followed the characteristic dynamics that we would have anticipated.
And for an epidemiologist, is that a concern that it's following the predicted spread?
It is. For a virus like this, we know that the predicted spread is going to be exponential. And so that's because every individual who becomes symptomatic and spreads it spreads to, in this case, more than one person. And so that suggests that we want to try to contain this as quickly as possible before it gets entirely out of control.
How contagious is this disease?
Normally, I'm studying measles. And so for me personally, I think that this is it's not the most contagious or transmissible pathogen that we are normally concerned of as humans. But given the severity that seems to be occurring, it seems to be maybe spreading a little bit more rapidly than an influenza virus, for example. So I think it's quite disturbing how quickly it's spreading.
Dr. Minna, what have you been learning about the severity of the actual illness from the coronavirus and who is most at risk?
Yeah, so there was actually a Chinese government paper put out yesterday, and this actually was the first real good glimpse into what the severity is really looking like across ages. And as anticipated from what we've heard, it's very much a virus that's affecting more severely the elderly and really individuals over 40, but particularly over 60 or 70. We've seen in children very, very few, even case reports, no less, very small numbers of actual severe cases or deaths. So overall, it seems to be tracking around 2% overall, but in particular in adults.
So 2% fatality rate overall.
Of reported cases.
Of reported cases.
Yeah. And that is a very important distinction because there's a very good likelihood that there's actually very large numbers of people in China currently who are potentially completely asymptomatic or so mild that they're not being reported at all. And I personally think the real numbers of people who have acquired the virus might be over 1 million in China. If it really is 1 million, that actually would bring down the overall case fatality rate quite significantly.
So as countries around the world prepare for the possible spread of COVID-19, there's this big question about how to test for it, whether labs are set up and ready. How do you test for it? And how would that happen in the U.S. or even at your hospital, Brigham and Women's?
Yeah, the major test that the world has been basing all these confirmed cases on is a PCR, a molecular test, where we actually look for little bits of the viral genome. And that's because this tool is very, very sensitive to pick up viruses.
And how is that test working?
So, well, we haven't had any patients, thankfully, to test it on in Brigham, and we're actually just starting to get it set up. The CDC actually is currently really taking responsibility. They're supposed to be taking responsibility anyway for all of the testing that's being performed in the United States. They had created these test kits, which went out to all the public health labs across the United States. And unfortunately, there was a hiccup, and it's still not fully clear what really went wrong there. But the test kits didn't work. So sort of all the tests that need to be done are currently still being done at CDC, and hopefully they'll get new test kits out to the state labs in the near future.
And finally, treatments. China has dozens of clinical trials now underway, from what I understand, to test different treatments. What do you see as promising right now? Or maybe should I say, what is the reality of finding treatments and even a vaccine for this illness?
I think that the idea of finding a vaccine is probably higher than finding a really curative treatment that's going to sort of cure anyone who gets severe disease. We would all love to find a really good antiviral therapy that we can give to somebody in critical care. We'll just have to see how those clinical studies turn out. In terms of vaccines, there's, of course, been a huge flurry of activity of companies trying to develop new modern vaccines. And I do feel confident that these will come out. I think it's just a matter of time. My guess is they won't become widely available, at least until, late summer, if not a year from now.
Dr. Michael Minna, an infectious disease specialist at Harvard and at Brigham and Women's Hospital here in Boston, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.